This is a No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chat, with guests, those darlings. I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt-country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com. So, this is another edition of No Surf Music's Burning River Fireside Chats. And joining me today are longtime No Surf friends, those darlings. Welcome back, guys.
Hey.
Good to be back.
And this is the second time you're sitting down for one of these interviews, so I'm really happy to have you. And you just released a new album, so we're going to be talking a lot about that. But before we do that, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody, and we'll start here on my left.
I'm Nikki, and I play guitar.
And I'm Adrian, and I play bass guitar.
I'm Linwood, and I play
with
the
yourself.
Drums and myself and many things.
I'm Jesse. I play guitar.
All right. So I guess this is the first time that you've been back in Cleveland for a while. We were just discussing that. It's been about a year. But you are here at the Beachland Tavern for a headlining show. And it's the first time I'm going to get to hear a lot of your new stuff live. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. You've been out on tour for what now, like 2 weeks since the release or something like that?
Not even 2 weeks yet, I don't think.
No,
it'll be 2 days. Oh wait, almost. I guess on Wednesday it'll be 2 weeks. So yeah,
what?
I'm kind of splitting
really?
Hairs.
I feel like it's been more than that.
It's either 2 or 3 weeks. It's one of those. Whatever.
It's two.
It's somewhere in there.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Point is, so how have people been reacting since you've been out playing the new stuff? What are you hearing from the fans?
So far, it's been very positive reviews. Nobody.
Well, you haven't heard mine yet.
I haven't got any negative reviews, but most people don't come up to you and tell you that they didn't like it.
You can be brutally honest with us.
Yeah.
Oh, I always am. No, actually, I really dug the album. Our review's going to be coming out next week. When this interview does.
Awesome.
But I wanted to definitely hit a couple of the songs and talk about them with you guys first. So I guess we'll just start off with sort of the basics of the album. It's called Blur the Line. And this is your third release as those darlings. And it's the first one with this lineup.
Uh-huh.
So I guess my first question is, having Adrian on bass this time around, were there any sort of changes as far as how you approached the album or how you played it or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. This time around, we used to switch instruments a lot, and before going into this one, we like sort of just decided to... Well, we had to sort of pick what we were going to play because we had to look for a fourth member. And and so for the last like year and a half, me and Nikki was kind of the one, she was deciding between bass and guitar because she had been doing a lot of bass stuff
right.
towards the end of the Screws tour. So she decided to move back to guitar, and then we got Adrian. And just like over the last year and a half or 2 years of us sticking to just playing guitar, you know, and no one switching and everyone sort of having their formal instruments, really helped us define our sound a little better and kind of not step on each other's toes musically, which was sort of the goal, I think, of this album, and sonically to make sure that like nothing was on there that didn't need to be, that everything was like in its exact right place.
Okay. So when you finally settled, it's like you said, you and Nikki are on guitar, and you've got a full-time bass player for the first time. I guess for you, Nikki, since you were playing a lot more guitar on this album, I think, than you have in the past, what was that change like for you? I mean, did it affect the way that you went into the studio, or did it affect the way that you worked on songs from the beginning?
It's okay. I've always written songs on guitar,
mm-hmm.
but playing in the studio is different. I mean, I don't think I played electric guitar on the past two records at all, so I don't know. It's made me work a lot harder and like focus on one instrument mainly instead of just picking things up, playing a little bit here and there. I feel like it's been really good to have like a main focus of an instrument.
And I think that, like, me and Nikki work together on our guitar parts a lot. Like, intertwining them together, but also, like, in, like, having complementary parts. But also our producer, Roger, that was sort of, like, his forte a little bit as well. So he helped us a lot, taking what we were already doing and then moving it up into, like, I think, you know, like, having a bunch more ideas on how to, like, work those parts together and play off of each other. So I think it was cool because me and Nikki have, like, a natural, I don't know what it's called, thing.
you got a thing, all right.
You got a natural thing from playing together.
Rapport,
you know?
Is that kind of what you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're close friends. We sort of, we've been around each other. We've played together a million shows. We just sort of can, like, musically feel like where the other one's going, you know? And so that was really cool to put into both the guitar parts and just play together.
Gotcha. Okay. So you mentioned that having more defined roles allowed you to kind of lock in on your style a little bit more. Excuse me. And obviously that has changed a lot from when you started off in two different ways. The first way is not so much musical, but it's kind of, I guess, an image thing, because you started out as a three-person all-girl group on the first album. And then on the second album, you added drums with Lynn. And then for this album, you've now gone to a two-person, two-girl, two-guy lineup. So I'm just wondering, kind of, you know, it is those darlings. The darlings thing is obviously sort of a feminine marking. So how has this new lineup affected, I guess, the way you see the band as far as the girl leadership of it, or the way your image has been projected? They're smiling at each other right now.
I feel like that, like, now more than ever, there's less of, like, a female, like, leadership, or, like, a leadership in general. Like, I feel like we're all kind of, like, a little bit more, I
don't really feel like it's changed at all. I never, like,
yeah, I don't think.
It was always like about. It doesn't matter if it's one girl or 20 girls in the band. People are always going to say, "Girl fronted band." You know, it's like,
yeah.
Especially if the girl plays an instrument, it's always going to be, "Girl who plays instrument." You know, like, headline. So,
freak show.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't feel like it's really changed. I don't feel that different in the way that, like, I never felt like, oh, I'm like a girl playing music, and this is, like, a big deal or anything. I just was like, I'm a musician, I like to play music.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, and then people would point out the fact that I was also a girl. But, like, I mean, it has changed in a way, because now I'm, like, a little bit more open to talking about, like, a feminine perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, whereas before I would just be like, it doesn't matter. There's no difference. We're all the same. We're all musicians. And now I feel like, yeah, there's a little bit of a difference because there aren't as many girls around, and so, but I wouldn't say that it's, like, something that, like, we purposely, like, are trying to, like, put out there, like,
yeah,
we're not trying to hide it, we're not just trying to put it out there, we're just trying to be ourselves.
Right. Well, I think we kind of hit on that a little bit the last time we got to talk, when we were discussing your song, Be Your Bro.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I went into a lot of detail analyzing that in the review, and I think a lot of people who listened to it did too. And it is, you know, on the one hand, kind of could be viewed as something of a feminist anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, I know just from talking to you and also just from knowing you that you didn't write it at all meaning for that. It was just mm-hmm. a personal experience kind of a thing. And I think, to some extent, what you were just talking about is the same way. I mean, whatever you guys do, you're going to be viewed a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there are people who like girl-fronted bands, or people who don't, specifically. Or people who, you know, like the way that a woman's voice sounds, or people who don't, or whatever. So I think more for the fans than anything else, there's always going to be some analysis that you don't necessarily want to fall into.
Yeah,
I'll say. Yeah. I think it's funny that you guys always got, like, pigeonholed so much as, like, you know, girl band, you know? Like, especially with, like, Be Your Bro. Like, Be Your Bro, to me, as a fan, when we toured together before, just listening to it, like, it's funny on that level of being, you know, a girl who just wants you to be her bro or whatever,
yeah.
But it totally applies to guys, too. It's the same kind of thing. It's like, just because, like, you're my friend doesn't mean that, like, we're going to, like, have some kind of, like, romantic or sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Just spending
stop
a lot of time with someone. Spending a lot of time with someone.
Yeah.
Just bros.
Hear that enough.
I also think that, like, maybe the difference between who we were then and, like, or who I was then and who I am now is that I've realized, like, over time that from the fact that people do point that out and analyze it and sort of, I don't know if pigeonhole is the word, but it certainly, like, can be, like, a little bit frustrating when someone just says, a girl band, and it's like, okay, that doesn't describe anything about,
yeah.
like, the music or what,
right.
what our message is or whatever. So now I guess, like, one thing I have realized over time is whether I like it or not, just by being a female who other people, other women are looking up to, I am a role model, and what I do, my actions do matter, you know what I mean, in terms of, like, you know, whatever, because people are going to say, I mean, you know, that's really my only point. It's just that I realize, like, the responsibility that comes with being, like, a female in, but I don't think that's really, that's, anyone who's going to be, like, a public figure is going to have a responsibility to, like, be an influence. They're going to be an influence, so it's just whatever kind of influence they want to be. But anyone in life, any female, doesn't matter if they're a public figure or not, it has a responsibility to be whatever kind of influence they want to be. So it's not really just about that. But I guess I noticed, like, we toured with Best Coast, and she had a bunch of, like, young girls that would come out to see her play and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I really realized, like, whoa, this is, like, this could be a good opportunity to, like, you know, be a really good example for these young girls who are just, like, you know, probably don't have a lot of people in their life telling them to, like, be badasses and, like, be individuals and, you know, and stand up for themselves and, like, not just be, like, you know, whatever, all about their shoes and their hair and their clothes and stuff. You know, that's not, like, the most important thing in life.
Okay. Well said. So I guess the other major change over time, now talking musically with the band, has been the style that you play, obviously. You sort of started out in a more country mode and have transitioned into more rock kind of a thing. And we talked about that when your last album came out as well. But it did seem like there was even something of a change going from Screws Get Loose to Blur the Line. How did you guys approach this album? Were there any new influences that you sort of tapped into, or what really drove the sound on this album?
I think one of the things is, like, on Screws Get Loose, we didn't rehearse very much. We went in there with those songs. You don't have to wipe that off to me. We went in there with songs, and some of them we never really played. You know what I mean? So this time we spent a couple months working on songs, you know? So certain songs, I feel like if we'd have just gone to a studio off the bat, they may not have evolved into, you know, what they did, you know, sitting around rehearsing them for however long.
Yeah, we practiced a lot, like, for a long time, you know, like,
well, we spent longer in the studio than we did in school.
Yeah, we also spent more time.
Yeah,
we
spent about a year and a half, like, writing the record. We spent several months.
Sorry.
Thank
about
you.
That. Yeah.
We spent several months recording. Recording, like, about a month and a half in the studio. But we did pre-production with the producer. I mean, we really put a lot of time into it, you know. And so, I think the rehearsal time was really a lot. I mean, we had some new influences. I mean, you're always looking to find, like, some new, like, music that's inspiring. You can't listen to the same stuff all the time and then expect to be like making something that's, you know, exciting.
Fresh
or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would also just say that like everybody like brought, like all four of us brought a piece of our personalities into it when we were like working on the songs too, you know. It was like, it
so
was
like
a
this
really
configuration, it makes like a, you know, we're gonna be a different sound.
Yeah,
so
it's like, how did you get the sound? It's just like we all just like put a little piece of it in there, and then that's what we can, and then plus what Roger added in the studio, that's just, it's just like the five of us combined, and that's what we came up with. So
Wonder Twin Powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was blown away when I heard the stuff just at the beginning stages when I first was kind of just like hanging around. That's why I kind of think I ended up here. I was just hanging around.
Yeah, we're like, did you get this guy out of here?
I'm pretty familiar with that stuff.
They're just sitting in the back playing a little bass. They didn't
you
even
hang
know.
Hang around long enough, then all of a sudden there's stuff with you.
You're right.
My tip for anyone out there trying to be cool bass player, why would you?
What is that?
I don't know.
Burger?
It's some sort of a veggie burger, probably.
Hi,
who knows?
I'm eating a veggie burger.
We're trying to decipher what the Beachland has brought Jesse here.
Yeah,
they have
like
wonderful food
hamburger
here, but sometimes it's a mystery.
It looks like a veggie burger.
It is.
I think it is.
Sounds
like
a big
deal.
I don't either.
Lynn is just a curious individual. He's just got to know these
that
things.
Smile. He's and just smiling so much. It makes it funny.
What is that, burger?
I think
he's got a burger. He's whispering, he's got a burger.
Why the hell didn't I get one of those damn chicken? Who wants chicken? So no, I totally forgot what the hell we were talking
we're
about.
We're talking about like our new sound and how it was like a group
indeed
effort.
Okay.
And we put a lot of time into it. It really was just like hours of practicing. You know, it's just like, it just morphed that way. We just go in every day, spend like 3 or 4 hours playing one or two songs, and then go back. We didn't, like on Screws, we just like wrote the songs and we like made some demos. And the, not even with the whole band, like half the songs were demos with just one person doing all the stuff on it. Then we went in the studio and we're like, okay, everybody just figure it out. And then it was done.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, we wrote like 30 songs as opposed to like, what, 11 or 12 for the Screws. Then we wrote like 30 songs and then we just started sort of like playing them all, and then the ones that started feeling better or moving faster. And then we, instead of just like working on a song for one day and being like, it's done, we would work on a song and then we'd be like, okay, we don't know what else to do with this, put it in the pocket, work on another one. And then like a week later, be like, let's work on that one again. And then, you know, do that over time, and it just like, it helped spread it all out, and everything was not just like, because sometimes you can, like, you get really excited when you first write a song, and it's really easy to just be like, oh my god, this song is so awesome, I can't wait to record it, and just, like, put all of your effort into it, and just, like, do it right then, or whatever, and then, or, like, the whole album, even, like, this album is so awesome, I love these songs, this is gonna be so great. Then you do it, like, the first day you write the song, or whatever, and then you look back later, and you're like, oh, we really didn't, like, after you play the song live for, like, 2 years, you're like, man, we play it better now than we did then, or like whatever. So we were like trying to make it to where we really put like the time in on the front end, and it wasn't gonna be like that when we toured on it so long and they're like, oh, this is so different, we should have done it this way.
So that actually brings up an interesting point. You said you spent a lot of time rehearsing sort of in studio and beforehand, but did you guys get the chance to play out some of the songs before?
No, well, we put out a couple times, but
not really before.
Maybe
recording.
Only twice.
Before
the song recorded.
Up until recording, we were still breaking things down and like, you know, like looking at, yeah, breaking bones. No,
we did.
Roger helped a lot too on certain things where he had some ideas on some stuff.
Yeah, we did some weird show that was like
Charleston.
No. We played a few shows out, but we did this secret show that we just invited like all of our close friends, our producer, like all the people that work for us.
And
basically,
not me.
Yeah.
Well,
it was like, you know, it was like, you know, I don't know, it was just like all of the people in our crew in Nashville, and we just invited them to come, and we were like, we just want to try out some stuff for you guys, so just like chill. And we did it, and it was like really cool. It was like,
it was sort of a warm-up because we had been playing South by Southwest a couple days after that, and we didn't want to go down there and play a show after not having played in front of anybody for months.
Makes sense.
You know?
Yeah, so. But that helped a lot doing that because our producer was there, and then And then he would say, okay, this song needs like this or whatever. And then he came back and watched us rehearse several times, and we rehearsed in his studio and made some demos. We went into a studio and made demos of all the songs. We picked 15 songs out of the 30 to focus on, because we had made a bunch of demos ourselves of all the songs, all 30 of them. But they were all like, some were stripped down, some were like full band, whatever. Then we went into the studio and we picked like 15 songs, and then we made demos in the studio, like live demos. And then those were cool. And then we ended up re-recording them all, obviously.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting process. You worked a lot harder, I think, on this, getting everything laid down than you ever have before. So
I think the key wasn't that we were all really much more patient this time, you know? It was like, there was no like, yeah, except for Linwood, but.
Yeah, hothead Lin over there, right?
I just think we've all gotten to the point from experience that we're like, all right, there's no need to rush it, like, just get it right, you know?
So do you think that having gone through the process a few times before, that you are sort of more mature as musicians now and
sure.
you're able to approach it differently?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if you do something, you know, over and over again, you can't help but become more mature about it.
Oh, you can help it if you really want to.
Is that okay?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay,
this one. I was moving just so she could put down the other stuff. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Anyway.
Where you're eating with a skewer.
Interesting
one
technique.
One person in the world that eats that.
That was totally my bad.
Sandwich eaten by a skewer.
Took me all night to eat the sandwich.
That's just me being devious. I want to see if I can totally screw you up. I also stole your guitar before.
Skew me up.
Yeah.
So anyway, before we move on to talking about a couple of the individual songs then, just one question for the newest member.
That's me.
Exactly. Because
right, did I get it right?
Oh. I think so. That's it. Interview over.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. No, I just wanted to ask, because this is your first time recording with the group, and obviously every time you add a new player, you add a new dynamic, as Jesse alluded to a little bit earlier. You were a fan of their music before you ever started playing with them, right?
Super fan.
I wouldn't say fan, but I was familiar with
you heard some of it around.
I heard
you
were
a
fan.
I was
always a really big fan of theirs. As soon as I met them, like, we became friends and fans of each other, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go with maybe fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, not friends.
Yeah.
I'm still working on the friends.
I'll admit that you liked me. I don't know if I liked you. It's another thing entirely.
Exactly.
I guess having heard the work that they did prior to your joining the band, and then having the experience of playing with them on this new album, what do you think you specifically brought to the recording that maybe wasn't there before, that maybe has changed since the new lineup has come in?
I think there's like a different level of excitement that I kind of came in with, just about being like, new not only to their band but new to playing bass. I had never played bass before, and it was,
which is funny, that's kind of how they found their drummer too, sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, he plays drums.
Just
come
out here.
Yeah,
and
they
were
like, you're gonna play
people.
What we want you to play.
Just convert people. No, but I mean,
force of personality there, Jesse.
It's a really fun challenge to, and I'm still trying to learn how to do it, you know. It's usually like the job you give to your buddy that doesn't know how to play anything, and then they try to, or they know how to play guitar and try to convert being a guitar player to playing bass, but it's really a lot more to it than that. And it's exciting, you know. It's always really, from the minute I met them and we've toured together in different configurations and things like that, but just the level of musicianship, not magicianship.
Do you use all those things already?
I haven't used any of them yet. I've been using all my slurring tickets now. No, they were just such good musicians and so fun to be around that, like, I caught on to their excitement, and hopefully I brought something like that to what they did. And just, like, you know, another perspective, I think they're kind of used to, like, strong personalities playing with each other for a long time. And, you know, everyone being coming at, like, when I joined in the band, most of the music was, like, the ideas were all there, you know? And I brought some of my own ideas into some of that, but it was more like, kind of like, all of us trying to wrangle was already kind of down there. So it wasn't like a situation where anyone was like, I'm really invested personally only in this one song. It was more of a group kind of effort.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have, like, you know, another person on board that's in that same mind frame, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So that said, I'm going to make you guys invest personally in a couple of your songs now, if you don't mind, just so we can talk about a few of them. Yeah, I know. Talking about your own work sucks, but you gotta do it.
I'm just kidding.
I think this collection had a number of really strong pieces on it. So I just want to highlight a couple and then kind of open things up for you to talk about, too. But I guess let's just start off with the leadoff track, Oh God, which I have to say may well be the coolest piece I've ever heard out of you guys in a lot of ways. Can you just sort of walk our listeners through that song a little bit and what you were thinking and sort of how you set the mood? Because it's a very mood-dependent kind of a song.
Well, I wrote the song, the lyrics, and the melody of the vocals and brought that in. It was just like a demo that was just like me and acoustic guitar playing that. And it, you know, without it, any of the other instrumentation, the song is like not really like that interesting. I mean, it's got, the words are cool, but I mean, it's the same exact thing over and over and over. So, you know, like when we started playing it, it was just cool because it was like immediately everybody just sort of got, I don't really even remember, I think it was just a natural thing, like everybody,
yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, everybody just sort of got like the whole idea of just like building it really slowly. And yeah, we just worked it out to where like the whole idea was like to just every single section, every verse, like I guess that would be a verse or stanza or whatever. There's like, you know, each section
cool.
Before it repeats,
it builds up. I think it's kind of
cool. Each section
cool.
would have something new in it. You know?
It kind of like reintroduced, like the whole thing of this record is sort of like introducing us as a band back again, you know? And then like that song more than any other ones, like how it starts off and then another layer comes on and then another layer comes on. It's like, here we are. Hello.
Yeah.
It's a little introduction of all of us in a way. It's pretty cool.
And also, like, one cool thing about when Adrian started with this is that we hadn't really never, like, been a band that, like, jammed or anything. We always wanted to be, but we just somehow, we would be a band that would practice our songs, and then we would go and be done with practice.
Right, now we're a jam band.
And,
yeah.
No, but I just mean, like, we never just, like, got to that point where we were all just, like, hanging out, just, like, playing until, you know, like, as long as we felt like just having fun. And it didn't have to be anything, playing anything specific. And also, we had been a three-piece for a long time, you know.
Not really.
I mean, when Adrian had come in, I mean, we had Spencer who practiced with us, but we didn't have, like, you know, like, writing sessions with him. And
we played for a couple months with just us three.
It was kind of like difficult to, because we had four piece songs, you know, and it was like Nikki was trying to make her transition to the guitar, but without a bass player, it was just really frustrating that we couldn't just sit down and like hang out and play music in the way that we wanted to. And so when Adrian came in, it was just like that was one of the first things that happened. Is like the very first thing before we even were like showed him a song or anything, we all just naturally like it can be a very delicate, vulnerable place to just like play whatever with other musicians, you know, because you don't, I don't know, it's just, it doesn't work with everybody. You have to have the right, you know, we all have like the sort of the all same disposition that's just sort of like let everybody go wherever they want to go. And we just immediately jumped into that. And I think that that was one of the things that like I wanted to like get on the record in some form. And that was like at the end of Oh God, that was like just an accident how we all just one time just ended up going into this crazy solo part.
Yeah.
And we're just like, whoa, that was cool. Like, what if,
like, feel like I'm a crazy horse.
Yeah, like what if that like isn't a real song? And so then, you know, I mean, we did a lot, we tweaked that song with Roger and he had some really good ideas, but I feel like the big majority of the feel and everything is like just us practicing and feeling it out, you know.
Just was instantly fun, man, to start playing with you guys and hearing all the stuff like from where I left off with you know, the material that I had heard before, and then seeing what you guys are working on now, and seeing how, like, whoa, this is a real big step, like, just to forward in a bunch of different directions, but, like, definitely moving forward, like, songwriting and everything else. And then just how much fun we were all having, just, like, it was like a relief for everyone, like,
yeah.
Oh, this isn't going to be stressful at all, this is
yeah.
so...
Yeah,
just fun.
Like, music is not supposed to be, like, hard. I mean, not hard, but, like, it is hard. Really hard. Especially F. No, but, I mean, it's, like, it's supposed to be, like, something that you enjoy doing, you know?
Right. Fair enough. In that whole discussion, though, I found it kind of interesting that you specifically sort of downplayed the lyrics. You kind of said, you know, they're not very interesting. It just kind of says the same thing over and over again.
Well, I was talking
no,
about
the melody.
Okay, well, the
not
melody.
The
it's the same melody.
Okay. Okay, I got you then. That makes sense.
you just want to know what it's about, don't you?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. Honestly, I mean, one of these things, like, well, we talked about this in our last interview, I think. I think it was when we were talking about Be Your Bro or Screws Get Loose, but I don't remember which song it was now. But it's sort of the thing about the very specific, when you're writing, sort of becoming the universal. You know, the more you tell your own story, the more it means to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that, obviously with this song, there's a lot of stuff that plays straight directly into your life. You know, I mean, the whole drunk girl in the shower, crappy hotel, different town every day, all that stuff is the musician's life right there.
Or a hooker.
But yeah, one of the two. I mean, you have to be a traveling hooker, though, because it's a different city.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that music is separate than, like, writing books. Like, if you wrote a book, you wouldn't say, like, oh, like, George Pelicanos, you must be, like, a crime-fighting detective because you wrote, I did this, or whatever.
Yeah.
In a song, you can say it. Because, I mean, when as soon as it's,
like,
oh, God starts, I'm a drunk girl in the shower. Instantly, I was a drunk girl in the shower. I say it every time in my head.
Right.
You know? But, like, yeah, like, you know, it's just, there's a weird line. There's supposed to be some reality in it. If there's something real in it, you can tell, you know? But leaving it open like that where people can kind of make up their own little story to it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It has that looseness in it.
Right. Well, I think that's the thing, like, just being more of a prose writer myself, you know, when you're writing something, a part of you always has to go into it, no matter what you're writing about. I mean, I can be writing about a character that's 100% opposite of me, but I'm writing it
that's
from
the
perspective of me.
That's the fun part, trying to find out what's real, and then that becomes where you add your part to the story, you know, as a reader or as a listener.
Indeed.
Finding out what's the real part and what's not real.
Fair enough. I mean, to sort of answer Nikki's question, to turn it around, I mean, what I found so intriguing about the song really was that, you know, there was that strong sense of it being personal, and at the same time, the whole universality of the moods that you portrayed. But you don't necessarily need to know the full story. I mean, that's one of the things that's great about music, you know, kind of touching on what you said, versus like a novel. You know, if you're writing a novel, you would want to know what the ending was, or even
sure,
what the hell you were talking about. And
yeah.
the song,
but
as a listener, you can kind
of... That's part of the whole point of the song is that, like, I feel like so many people, especially on that song, have said that, like, that they really connect with that song, you
mm-hmm.
know? Like a lot, like, old people, young people, you know, like... People from all walks of life have been like, that song, I like get that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is because it's open-ended and you can put your own self into that. You know what I mean? Like, you can, people relate to it because it's like, you know, that, like, I've been let down or I've had my heart broken or I've been, you know, wronged and I know that feeling and I know, like, that. You know, like, that place exactly where you know, I was in the song or whatever. But I think if it was just, like, this is what happened, then it wouldn't be as, like, easy to relate to, you know?
Definitely got you. And I think also, I mean, you know, I've told you many times that I'm a fan of your songwriting anyway. But, I mean, I think because of what you just said and because of the quality of the writing, I think that's the best piece that you've ever done, personally, far as a songwriter. So,
I appreciate it.
No problem. So I think that's another reason why a lot of people connect with it, because it just is so, you know, in tune with the way people think.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to something completely different, if you don't mind, let's touch on the other song that you already have done a video for this album, which is Optimist. So I'm just gonna leave that one open because it is. I mean, no, it is. It is like, in the one hand, it's completely different. It's an up-tempo piece. It's sort of, I guess, more of a fun-sounding song. But on the other hand, the lyrics are kind of twisted and dark a little bit. In that, you know, it's almost about somebody losing hope in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, how did you guys synthesize that song out of, you know, the first kernel of the idea?
I wrote that song, like, on the European tour that we did. We were in Germany, and this guy, and we did a radio interview, and this guy asked us,
Byte FM.
Yeah, and he was like, are you an optimist? And I remember, like, just literally, like, being stumped at the question, because I was like, I don't know, am I? I don't know. I don't think I am I? And then Lynn would answer, and I didn't say anything. Lynn would, I don't know what
I
he said
either.
Remember. But
it's
I couldn't stop
somewhere.
Thinking about the question. Yeah, it
refused to tell Germans anything.
Someone heard it. But I can stop thinking
still trying
about,
to take over the world, you know. Sorry.
Sorry. I just couldn't stop thinking about, like, the whole rest of the tour, and I just, it was like some, I just scribbled down some lyrics in the van. And then, like, I don't know, we worked on the chords.
Yeah, she
it.
Came over one day. I used to have a lot more lyrics and stuff in it, too.
Did it?
Yeah. I killed, like, half of them.
I don't remember that.
Well, that song, I mean, it's old, kind of an old song, because we did that tour in 2012, like, halfway through the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think, literally, right after we came back, you and I started working on that song.
That one and Can't Think were the first two songs for this album, I think.
Okay.
Besides Wilderness, that one was written way a long time ago. But that one went through so much transformation, it's hardly the same song.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
Were you saying something else after that? You cut the
words just about the song? Oh, yeah, I think originally it was a little bit longer. There was more words, and we just tried to make it as, we all like songs that are short and get to the point.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's nice to have a couple of those around.
Okay.
It was kind of like Ramones influenced in a way, like just like the, I was listening to a lot of Ramones when I was in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and because I was just like the whole time kind of like,
long way
I don't
back
know
to
where
Germany.
The hell we are, and like just having like Ramones loud blasting my ears was just like making me feel better, you know? But like, I just really like respect the way that Joey Ramone could always like sing about like really like messed up stuff, you know, but like in a way that was so like empowering, like, you know, like just being like, I'm a teenage lobotomy or whatever he wanted to say, and then just saying it and putting it out there, and then everybody else is like, I am too, you know? So I guess that's kind of where the idea comes from.
I
want to
be your boyfriend, Joey.
Or like, I want to be sedated or psychotherapy or whatever. You know, like he had like schizophrenia, and he would just like write about being messed up, and, you know, it was cool, so.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to being messed up a little later. But I feel it's interesting that you actually mentioned the Ramones, because one of the stylistic changes I kind of saw in this album personally was that some of it was almost a throwback to your first album, in that there was a little bit more of a punk element, I thought, in a lot of it than on Screws Get Loose. Did you guys feel that way as well, or is...
Wait, a punk aspect?
I feel like there's more... I don't know, I guess it depends on which way you're looking at it. Because on Screws Get Loose, there's definitely songs you can look at and say these are punk songs, you
mm-hmm.
know? But I guess the first record, it's not more... But it's not so much the sound, it's the attitude. That's
yeah,
the
I think...
That's more punk.
Right, I think that's kind of what... Again, I'm a lyrics freak, you guys know
yeah.
that. So usually when I say something like that, it's less about the music and more about
sure.
the writing or the attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, just it sort of caught me a little more as like, you know, like early kind of a punk feeling, like a little bit more of the fuck the world feeling on some of it than on your last record. Maybe I'm completely off base.
No,
love
I,
the world
I just feel like there's a little
say.
Bit of that on there's that on the last record too, but maybe there's more on this one. Maybe
I
not.
So.
I'm not really sure.
It's not really for us to say yes
yeah.
or no to that, really.
I'll answer this one.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
I'm
yeah.
not really sure
Each
what
album
songs
gets more
are on the sale, to be honest.
And is that your influence there, Adrian?
I can't help but influence these punks.
Let's look at
it. Indeed. Well, the other thing that kind of caught my ear, actually musically, was it also seemed to me like you had a little bit more of kind of an 80s guitar rock feel on a couple of songs.
Such as?
Well, In the Wilderness really hit me as kind of like a dark version of Heart. I could be crazy, but that's what I thought of. She Blows kind of was, I'm not exactly sure who to compare that to, but it just kind of gave me that feeling of like, you know, sort of early 80s, like semi-gothic leather wearing, dark haired chicks kind of band, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, again, I could be crazy, but that's kind of something that I heard in it too.
You're definitely crazy.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, those two things are not mutually
think,
exclusive. Let's get
I mean,
that straight.
You can get. You, I mean, it's whatever you hear in music.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's all. You know, like it's awesome. Whatever you hear. I wouldn't say that there was any
influence.
Like yeah, any
that,
like early '80s influence for any of the album necessarily, but.
I might disagree with you. On that.
Maybe Linwood was. He was channeling it.
He's our resident
I leather
wearing
yeah.
80s Steve.
You guys could
I would
have been
think like She Blows was kind of like Fleetwood Max.
That was
Patti
the other
Smith.
Thing, yeah.
That was kind of where we were at. Like
yeah.
Neil
okay.
Young,
like,
Patti Smith, like, Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood.
I definitely heard some Fleetwood Mac
Velvet
action in there.
Yeah,
okay.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I think
not with She Blows.
Doing what now? I think that, you know, it kind of goes back to what we were just discussing about the whole girl band thing, you know. For you on the inside, it's completely different than for somebody on the outside talking about you because, you know, I as a journalist have to classify you and that means I have to compare you to something, you know what I'm saying? So I have to find maybe a little strain that works out here or whatever, so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just trying to get to the bottom of that a little bit. But no, fair enough. So in sort of, I think, even more kind of a Velvet Underground-y take, and in a lot of ways more early psychedelia, you had Western Sky. That one kind of, to me, harkened back a little bit to Mystic Mind from the last album. It was sort of a very kind of free-flowing stream of consciousness kind of lyrically. With a lot of like howling guitar and stuff going on there. So what can you tell me about that particular piece?
I wrote it in the on a tour that we did that was out west in America, and we were driving through the desert, and I don't know, I was just like thinking a lot about our
sky.
Yeah, I was thinking about the sky out there. No, but just like our descent from connecting with nature and like
mm-hmm.
and our like dependency on technology and how we're all like sort of like just like you know so obsessed with technology and how like it was just driving me crazy and I just wanted to like go somewhere where there was no technology, there was nothing that any man had made, and just be like out in nature alone, like playing music and or singing, even like with my own voice that just came naturally to me, and not like or maybe not even alone, I mean like maybe with a group of people even, but just like being somewhere where you don't hear the interstate and you have no civilization around. You know, I mean that's like the basis of the idea. That's not the full total idea of the whole song, which I could probably talk about for like, you know, a couple hours. But
That's we don't really have a couple hours, like... but expand a little bit, because I found it a very interesting piece.
I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to do right now off the cuff, but...
Okay. Well, let me get specific.
It was also about a dream. I was out there in the middle of the desert, and I had this dream about that painting by... who did that painting? The painting with the lion. The guy sleeping in the sand, you know, at night.
No, I don't know.
Can't remember.
Look it up.
I'm going to use...
Lynn's going to use technology to find out about your anti-technology song.
Or maybe it's a woman. It's a person. I don't know if it's a woman or a man, but I had a dream about that painting, and it was just really like...
seems like Dolly, but who knows?
No, it's not Dolly. It's, someone who's a little bit better than Dolly.
Oh, okay.
A little more skilled painter.
That's opinion.
Good of a mustache.
Art critics, those dogs.
Yeah. Like, don't start talking about dying.
And it was like, sort of like the, it was just sort of like this like vision of like a really large, ferocious creature that was just like peacefully watching over me in my sleep in the, I was dreaming about the painting, but also in the painting, but I was also the lion and the person, and it was just sort of like, the beginning of the song is just about being like, and the lion is like a very masculine, like,
symbol?
Yeah, but not just masculine, it's not the only word, but okay. Like, you know, like, well, the king of the jungle, like, the leader, like, the...
Projecting strength.
Yeah, the strength and sort of, like, so it was, it's sort of, like, representative of this one part of me, but then being, like, the person sleeping on the sand is, like, the vulnerability, and I was thinking about, like, the lion sleeps with the lamb, you know, like, the biblical reference, and it was just sort of about, like, being in harmony with nature and like also just like embracing the feminine, the masculine, and like you know strength and vulnerability at the same time. In the Minotaur is like about like the labyrinth of life and like you know like the labyrinth is sort of like the city, you know, the civilization that you're just like constantly being like thrown, you know, trying to find your way. I felt like I was trying to find my way out of it, you know.
Okay. So, I guess the line that's most easy to pick out from that, because it's from the refrain, is, I don't want to hear another civilized roar, and let's make our own noise as a follow-up. So I guess, from what you're saying, it sounds like there's two elements at once, you know. You're kind of, in one sense, railing against civilization, as in our technological progress and getting away from nature, but also it seems like you have an issue with civilization as far as a social construct and how that sort of puts you into constraints as well. Mm-hmm. Am I pretty well on that? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it, like the going back to like the feminine and masculine identity too. I feel like it's a like what you're talking about, like in terms of just like the social construct or whatever. It's sort of like about like just being a woman in a world where it's like male dominated and like sort of like the, I can't really explain it, like just I mean, this is all, like, really broad terms in
right,
terms of, like,
obviously.
Describing this, but, like, it's not about, like, the song isn't about, like, being a woman or anything. It's not, like, a feminist, like, manifesto or anything, but it's just, like, it's sort of about just, like, the balance between the masculine and feminine powers, you know, and sort of, like, the call for equality.
Right. Well, I think... in sort of every sense, what you're talking about in the song is sort of you identifying as the other, it seems to me, if that makes sense. You know, whatever the sort of dominant feature in the society is, you're kind of the other part of that, the underdog, the one that doesn't get noticed. And it's sort of like, I think the make your own noise part is about sort of like breaking out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's also about, like, just individuality, like, making your own noise. What does that mean? What's mm-hmm. your own noise? What kind of sound are you going to make? Maybe it's a roar, or maybe it's, like, a chirp because you're a little bird. But just because, you know, like, maybe I'm a little girl, you know, I'm 5'1", and I weigh, like, 95 pounds, but I'm, like, I'm a lion, you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes I'm a lion, and sometimes I can be, like, a little mouse, but, like, it doesn't matter, like, if you're, I guess it's like, not to sound like a total hippie, but it's sort of like about the idea of the yin-yang, that like everybody is like, everything is intrinsic, and there's like all of the, like every woman has a little bit of man inside of her, every man has a little bit of woman inside of her, and it's like every lion has a little bit of like a mouse, and every mouse has a little bit of a lion, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all...
I do.
It's all connected, but it's whatever.
It's sort of like everybody has everything in the spectrum somewhere within them. They just tend to fall towards one end or the other in most circumstances.
Yeah or just ignore the other parts because society says this is
their all of their sides.
Yeah, like society says this is what a man is, this is what a woman is, and this is what a man should be, this is what a woman should be, or, you know, not just, it doesn't have to be about men and women, but that's just one specific
right.
example.
Okay, fair enough. And then there's just one more song that I want to bring up before you guys get ready to rock here, which is the final track, which is also the title track, Blur the Line. Which I found interesting because it was kind of a semi-hidden little thing at the end there, which most people don't do with the title track of the album. But
breaking with some new ground, I suppose.
Oh yeah, going crazy there. But I thought that was particularly interesting because it kind of goes back in a lot of ways to the opening track, the first one we talked about. Because, like My God, it's a very personal composition. Can you, first of all, just kind of give me where it came from and, you know, what you were thinking about when you wrote it?
I was sort of like, this whole album was sort of just like a huge process of personal growth and like self-exploration. And I would say that like... I spent a lot of time alone. Me and Nikki both did. She spent a lot of time alone as well, writing. And it wasn't necessarily just like trying to write songs, but just a lot of journaling and like kind of just exploring. I don't really know how to describe it besides just like putting a pen to the paper and just spending hours just writing a lot of stream of conscious stuff or whatever. And like, and yeah, I don't know, this one night I just like wrote all night long, and it was just like the most like intense experience I've ever had like doing any type of art. It was like really, I don't know, all this, it was like I was like not even myself, like it was like all this stuff was coming out of me that I didn't even really understand or like where it was coming from or whatever. It was like like as if another person had taken over my hand and was writing on the paper. And whenever I got done and read back through what I'd wrote, it was like so intense. It was just like the most intense, I can't really explain what it was because it was really personal, but it was just mm-hmm. like a lot of things I didn't realize about myself, and just a really crazy moment. And I felt like exhausted, but I also felt like I was like at the like extreme point of being vulnerable. Like I just felt like nothing. I mean, I don't know. It was just crazy. So the next day we had practice, and I came in and I hadn't written a song out of all that. I just had been writing. And then the next morning I came into practice and I was just really, I mean, during this whole period it was like so much learning about myself that like a lot of the time I wasn't really like spending very much time with people. Like when I came into band practice I was pretty like a lot of the times would be like pretty like within myself, but everybody like knew I was
Rousseau
sort of,
did the painting.
Rousseau. There you go.
Last song, but okay.
But But, you know, they kind of just, like, would not, like, would just let me be and understood, and I was really grateful for that. So I came in, and I was feeling that way, but nobody really, like, questioned me. I was just sort of, I was, like, literally on the verge of tears, like, the whole, like, I was so, like, kind of, not freaked out, but just felt, it felt like, honestly, like a cleansing or something. Like, I'd just gotten all this stuff off of my chest that I was just, like, so raw and like bare afterwards, and I was kind of worried about going to practice because I felt like I was just going to cry, like in the middle of everything. Like, I didn't feel like I could do anything actually productive. But as soon as I got there, I walked in the room, and then all of a sudden I just was like, and everyone was setting up, or it was just Lynn and Nikki actually, and they were just setting up, and I was like, hold on a second. And then I went and just sat on the couch and pulled out my notebook, because I just had this melody in my head, and I picked up my guitar, and I literally just like sat there and like wrote the whole song. I mean, there was excerpts from what I had written the night before, but like it came out perfectly, and like just the exact right, like the right order. It was a very rare moment. Usually songs take a little bit more work than that in terms of structure, and it just came out in the melody and everything. And then, like, you know, we were planning on working on another song that day, but I was like, can we try this? And we just immediately, as soon as I finished it, started playing it as a band, worked it up, and then it became a song. So that's sort of where that, I mean, that was how the song came about. But right. I would say that song is really interesting to bring up right after we talk about Western Sky, because that song is also about the same thing, like the balances of life or whatever, and about opposing forces, basically, like and their connections with each other. Like, it's sort of like tonight and every single night I blur the line between sanity, insanity, strength, vulnerability, male, female, nature, technology, feel like there's something else that I'm, oh, good and evil, that's a huge one. That's like, that's the last line before the last chorus. I'm an evil with a steeple. It's like the good and evil that's inside every human being. And like, I feel like a lot of people think, and it's sort of taught that like you're either bad or you're good, but everybody's good and bad, you know, and you can choose to be whatever you want to be. But you know, you have, it doesn't matter if you're a saint, you still got the evil inside of you, you know. You just have to learn to like deal with it. And and I feel like and the whole point is sort of like facing your fears and your discrepancies as a, you know, as a person, or I'm saying yours, but really I'm talking about mine, facing my fears, my discrepancies.
I should probably do that too. Yeah. Let's face it, I'm as fucked up as you are, my friend.
I always end up saying you're, and I really mean me, but I guess what I'm saying is that, like, in order for me, like as hard as it was to get to that point the night before, and I felt so like crazy or whatever, that actually made me feel stronger in the end, because I just like took what I took that beast sort of and just looked it in the eyes and was like, all right, you know, I'm gonna honestly acknowledge you and therefore conquer you, you know. So that's sort of what the song is about.
Okay.
And like, trying to think that. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's really.
Well, I think what kind of interests me the most, in addition to all the themes that you were just talking about, is, you know, we sort of talked previously about kind of the girl image of the band, and also the way that you have sort of used the whole feminine sexuality thing one way or the other, you know, when you were doing Be Your Bro, the video and all that. And obviously you getting up on stage, hardly ever have any clothes on. And yet I've never really felt that at any time you've ever been as naked as you were in this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because it's so emotional and it's so just literally laying everything about you out there. So to me, that's what struck me about it. And I think you sort of did a good job of kind of, you know, deconstructing that and all the different parts of your psyche that were coming out. So very cool. And I definitely have to recommend it to anybody who's going to listen to the album. It's a great song.
Thank you very much.
Indeed. So one last thing. Nikki, would you come over so we can hear you a little bit better? I'm sorry.
Sure.
We had a little bit of technical difficulties for those of you listening, and we kind of had to move here. So I realized that once again, just by chance or happenstance or what struck me, I focused a lot on Jesse's writing throughout the interview. So I sort of want to give you an opportunity to kind of, you know, for people who haven't heard the album yet or who, you know, might be thinking about checking it out, can you just tell them, you know, what maybe your favorite piece is on the album and how you came about creating it or anything like that?
My favorite piece on the album?
Or just something that you wrote that you feel like, you know, is particularly something you're proud of or whatever.
I mean, I'm proud of all of the everything on the record, whether it be the songs that I wrote lyrically or not. So, I mean, I'm really proud of this record.
They're all your children?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I feel the same way. Like, it's like
not going to be like, my song is the best because, or
well,
whatever.
Well, no,
like,
I'm not saying that.
No,
you know
what
it, yeah.
But, like, I don't really want to, like, convince anyone or, I don't know, lure them into, like, some...
You should listen to this
well,
one because it's
yeah,
so much better
like,
than the others.
Yeah, listen to it if you want to listen to it.
I mean, do you have any thoughts about In the Wilderness, maybe, since that's one that I feel like has, like, a greater depth behind the lyrics that, like, a lot of people don't pick up, sort of like Western Sky.
I do
know?
Kind of agree with that. I did want to talk more about that one,
yeah.
So I think that'd be a good one.
Well, there's a lot that has to do with, like, my personal sexuality and the way I feel about men and women, or at least my relationships with men. And how men perceive me, and it's always kind of like, you always kind of see this character, and you sum them up, and you're like, this is who you are, and then when you find out who they actually are, you're just like, what? What? You know, and like, and the frustration, but also the allure of, like, mystery, and that it's outside of just sexuality and people in general, but, like, you know, anything, you know? Like, being like, I want something that I don't, like, the unknown. I, like, starving for, yeah, the wilderness, the mystery, whatever it is. Just always feeling like that's where you want to be. And it's really difficult to get to. And when you get there and you find out something, then you're, you know, then you want something else. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that you phrase it that way, because in that way there's some parallels to what you were talking about with what was the next to last song that we were talking about, and I forgot which one it was.
No.
Western Sky?
Yes. Sorry. All of them mixed together, and I forgot which one we were talking about for a second there. Western Sky. Yeah, I mean, in some ways, the ideas of the wilderness that you're talking about, even though they're...
similarities,
yeah.
In this.
At the same time, I found it kind of interesting because as far as your role in the group, I always find you're kind of the go-to girl for the sort of sultry kind of stuff. And that song, I think, sort of highlighted that in sort of an ironic way, being what you were talking about. You know, like you just said, I think in some ways you're kind of pigeonholed that way.
There's lots of sides to me, just as, you know.
Right.
The same with Jesse, too. Whatever, you see us however you want to see us.
Right. Well, I think also...
And the songwriting, of course, like, creates a character for yourself. And,
right.
And our characters have, like, kind of changed over the years.
I also think that In the Wilderness sort of has another connection. I mean, all of the songs on the album really do have, like, themes that go within each other.
Right.
Like, we could probably relate one to the other, like, from the beginning to the end. But I would say that another... connection in the wilderness, back to what we were talking about, Western Sky, just like the idea of, like, show your teeth, let them beg, like, sort of
mm-hmm.
the the lion aspect and like the strings. Yeah, and same thing, make your own noise, it's the same thing, like show your teeth. It's like, you know, sort of like buck up and like, you know.
Be a badass, yeah, like you said before.
Yeah, but also it's the goes back to the connection with nature as well. We belong in the wilderness, yeah. And then
red and tooth and claw and all that.
Yeah,
themes like that throughout the record.
And also Nikki's song "Drive," which is like using your legs and walking around instead of like using machinery. That's kind of the same similar idea, and that runs through, you know, both of those songs as well, with the getting back to nature type of theme or whatever you call it.
Fair enough. And I think, just to sort of strike another sort of chord that runs through those, Drive, you have the lines about, I think it's "I'll be the wheel, I'll be the road," all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of in the same way as you were talking about, you know, shows having multiple sides in one person and sort of, you know, different roles that you can play and all that. So I think that's another way that they're all tied together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that we've covered a lot. If you guys have one final thought just for people who might be interested in the album that you think they should know or anything like that, or if Adrian or Lynn wants to kick anything else in, I don't know.
We've got another video coming out really soon, "Four in the Wilderness."
Okay.
So check that out if you haven't already picked up the record. You should do so. And
indeed.
Check that out. That song and video out as soon as we come out.
Okay. Well, I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Your videos are always entertaining, no matter what they're about.
Yeah.
This one will be...
Yeah.
It's going to be...
This will be our best one yet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really
okay.
About it.
Very cool. Very cool. So everybody look on Vevo for that, correct? And I'm sure that you can find it on No Surf Tube. I will definitely link to it under the No Surf Friends section, so you guys will see it there as well. But I really want to thank all four of you for joining us today.
Yeah.
It's been great to talk to you again, and I'm really looking forward to the show tonight because it's been quite a bit too long since I've seen you live. So, once again, I love these guys. If you haven't heard them, I think you will too. So everybody go check out Blur the Line. It's in any online store or your local record stores. Thanks again to those darlings, and have a great night. All right.
Thank you.
And this has been another edition of No Surf Music's Burning River Fireside Chats. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off.
This has been a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt-country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.